So it's in a conversation that takes place with a woman beside a well that Jesus explains that those who are true worshippers of God will and must worship in spirit and in truth. Now we can see that that applies to our personal life, the way in which we worship God individually. But Jesus at that point is thinking about how we worship together. He's talking about the temple, he's talking about where people worship, how people worship, and particularly then how we worship in what we call public worship. And the hymn writers invite us to come, for now is the time for worship. And the carols declare, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord, and come and worship Christ, the newborn King. The angel announces that a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And a great host of angels praise God, saying, glory to God in the highest. And as the shepherds return to their task, they return glorifying and praising God. We're familiar, aren't we, over the Christmas time with the fact that wise men come on a journey in order to worship him. Even King Herod says that he wants to worship this king. And there in the temple we find there's an elderly lady called Anna. And we read that she is day and night worshipping. And it's as Jesus is brought then into the temple that Anna gives thanks to God. And she speaks to all who will listen about the one who has come, that they might know the redemption of Israel. And so where is worship in our Christmas celebrations? And have the worship gifts of the wise men taken the place of the adoration of God's amazing gift of his beloved Son? And do we, as Paul observes in Romans 1, worship the creation rather than the Creator? If you just turn there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, as you see Paul describing the condition of men's hearts and minds, and he's saying here that there are two ways of worship. Either you worship and serve the things of this world, the created things, or you worship the Creator who is forever praised. And the word that Paul is using there is the word that Phil has referred to, one that means serving the Lord in our worship. And in this case, Paul is reminding us that we might well be spending our time worshipping the things of this world rather than worshipping the Lord. Now, the New Testament writers have a choice of at least five words when it comes to thinking about worship. And you may have heard people talk about all the words that Eskimos have for snow. because they need to have a whole range of ways of describing different snow conditions. It's important to them. It's relevant to their daily life. Is it the sort of snow that's good for a sleigh? Is it the sort of snow that's good for an igloo? They've got, I don't know, some people say 50, some people say 100 different words that describe different types of snow. Well, in the New Testament, writers have a number of words that they use to helpfully apply what does it mean for us to worship. And the word that I'm speaking about now is the word for service. And then Jez is going to speak about the word for submission. And then Phil is going to conclude the word for self-sacrifice in worship. Let's just turn to that account in Luke 2 that I mentioned. This is Anna there in the temple, unaware at that moment that the Messiah has been born. But there she is, dedicating and committing herself day and night to the worship of God. And again, this is the same word then that we read in Romans 1, it's the word for serving God in our worship. And then if you can also just look into Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, R.T. Kendall, when he writes his book about worship, is focused on verse 3 of Philippians 3. And again, this is the same worship word for serving the Lord. And he says these things here as Paul writes to the Philippians. He says, firstly, we worship by the Spirit of God. Secondly, in our service and worship, we glory in Christ Jesus. And then thirdly, he says, we don't rely on human traditions. We don't do things just because that makes us feel good. It's not because we've always done it that way. We do not rely, he says, on human traditions. And in fact, he goes on to say, we glorify God in such a way that everyone who is present in that public worship is going to be blessed, because it's something that's going to be active and dynamic. These words for worship are what we call verbs. They're action words. These are words that make a difference. And Paul is reminding us of the way in which in worship we move and move and move. We move by an increase in our faith. We move by a deepening of our fellowship. We move by a glorious expansion of the freedom that we have in Christ. And so if you carry on in that letter to the Philippians, you'll see the way in which Paul is so concerned then that our service of worship should be one in which we're united in our praises, that we're conscious only of the Lord's presence. It's not a matter of our own feelings. It's not even a matter of what other people are thinking and feeling. It's a matter of serving God with that focus of our attention upon the Lord. So there's a movement in our offering of worship. a movement that serves the Lord, a movement that seeks to build up one another. And as in the case of Anna here in Luke 2, we read that she is thankful to God and she tells others about Jesus. And they would be thrilling ways in which we could worship God today by committing ourselves to that service of thankfulness together and the action that follows in telling others about the Lord Jesus. So as we come to worship, let's come with that attitude and that openness and that willingness to be here, not for ourselves, not even to look good in the eyes of other people, but that we're here in order that we might serve the Lord, and that we would come not out of a sense of duty, but rather out of the sheer delight of being able, as again Paul says, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice in worship to the Lord. And again, still that word, to serve the Lord. We're not talking about just having some kind of individual inner experience, not just an awareness of God's word and calling, but just the sheer delight that knows the Lord, that praises and glorifies him, but then also has its outworking in the way then that we serve the Lord together. So we're going to sing a song that will just express something of that thankfulness to the Lord.